Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Okay, so again, he's identifying his stewardship by this power, the divine power, okay, which all of us are partaking of. Okay, the knowledge which he received, he pinned down here for the benefit of the saints of his time, for doxology, for faith, for study, okay, and which also benefits us today. Okay, Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, okay, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia. Again, he's talking about the performance of these elements. Okay, because grace does have a performance for faith. Grace be to you in peace. And again, we see the peace of God accompanying faith or accompanying grace, okay, for the purpose of allowing us to go through the process of this transition. Okay, if peace did not accompany this grace, then the process of this transition, okay, would be the great turmoil. Okay, almost like demon possession. Your head would start spinning. Everyone in the pew, their heads would be spinning around. Okay, simply because the peace of God wasn't accompanying it. Okay, yeah, well, that's what demon possession does. Okay, it causes madness. Okay, so grace be unto you and peace. Okay, from God our Father. Again, he's identifying this living tether. Okay, the living tether, and this is the same language that Jesus used concerning and references to his Father, where he says, "My Father is greater than I." Okay, revealing that the witness, okay, accompanying this token, okay, the witness accompanying this token would result in knowledge, okay, result in a form of bonding, okay, the witness and it which accompanies this token, it would be manifesting a certain form of knowledge and bonding, okay, so I and my Father are one, as we all are, we're all bound to him. Okay, by these elements. So grace be to you and peace from God our Father, okay, who's under whose oversight he's nurturing us, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, by the seal that we see him. Okay, and then he goes on in verse 2, blessed be God. There's the word blessed again. Okay, in verse 3, the same language he uses in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So he says, blessed be God. He's talking about he that is benefiting us with this form of experience. This is his joy. Okay, through this form of experience, our joy is full. Okay? In other words, we opened the door and our beloved came in. Okay? It's not that we opened the door, he was gone. Okay? We opened a door and our beloved came in. Okay? And this knowledge is as frankincense and myrrh. Okay? So blessed be God, okay, as a benefit. Okay? Just like when Jacob, we read that yesterday, when Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Okay, it wasn't that he just, you know, like sprinkled water on him or just laid hands on him and says, "There, Lord bless you." Okay, but it has to do with a form of knowledge. Okay, that this knowledge, okay, is a great benefit for the purpose of, okay, of increase, commitment, bonding. Okay. So blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's identifying that under whose care we have come. Okay, under whose wings we trust. So he's governing our destiny through this form of care, okay, and his bonding. And he's called a God and a Father of mercies. Okay, so you might want to highlight mercy there. We got grace, peace, mercy. Herein is his direct involvement, okay, whereas we have great confidence, okay, that there's a form of exchange through our intercession of prayer and reciprocation of knowledge, okay, or the assemblage of prophecy. Okay, as we take on, when we assemble together, we prophesy. Okay, we use a completely different language than that which the world has adopted. The world adopted the language of the precept, and you can see that. Okay, because the precept being dead, so is their communication. There's no life in their knowledge. There's no life in the things that they say. Okay, whereas the life of God accompanies our communication, because he is our Father of mercies. He's directly involved with us. We're standing at the altar. Okay. The Father of mercies and a God of all comfort, okay, which is assisting us again. The comforter. That's why he's called the comforter. Because the Spirit of the Lord is providing us an environment, okay, which now we are familiar with. Okay, when you're familiar with a certain environment, okay, like when we first came to Muzzle Bay, okay, being unfamiliar with the environment, you can feel a little uncomfortable. Okay, places where you could go, okay, not to adventure to places where we're not familiar with. Okay, and so the priests, they being taught the responsibility of the temple, Okay, they went through grade 1 and grade 2 and grade 3, okay? In other words, their learning process, okay, was accompanied with experience. Okay? So those which were 50 years old, okay, now having retired, okay, would help out those which are now entering into it, like 30 years old. Okay, those, they would go from 30 to 50. 20 years of service, they would retire. Okay? Some, I don't know if they get a retirement ring or what. Okay? But they would teach the next generation. They would pass on their experience and tradition. Okay? A performance was necessary. Okay? It wasn't just textbook. Okay, they didn't go and sit in the classroom and say, okay, this is what you do. Okay, it was they had a hands-on experience concerning whatever they were assigned to. Okay, whether being a porter or when it was standing at the altar.
It was on-the-job training,
right. Now, and those which were retired would volunteer their experiences to oversee, okay, the next generation. So he's a God of all comfort. Okay, he's providing his hands-on experience at the altar. We are gaining, in this environment of the assembly, okay, we're gaining confidence. Okay, the saints know what is expected out of them. Okay, when you come into the presence of God, everyone comes with a gift so that we don't offend him. Okay, we come with a gift, and he provides us these gifts with dreams and visions, a prophecy, as Paul brings out in Corinthians here. When you come together, when he has a psalm, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation, okay, or prophecy. We come having been built up. Okay, we have been cleansed. Okay, we've been washed. We have our garments on. Okay, and we're coming to serve, to give more than receive. So this is what Jesus talked about. It's more blessed to give than receive. Okay, and regarding your priesthood, okay, that's our responsibility. When we assemble together, it's better to give than receive. Because by giving, why is it better than giving? Because by giving, you receive. You increase by giving. The more you sow, the more you grow. Okay, so the God of all comfort shows that we are very familiar with our responsibility. Okay, by this grace, by this peace, by this power. Okay, by this new priesthood of Melchizedek. Who comforts us also in all of our afflictions, or tribulation. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, okay, which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, what is it that we're comforted with? We ourselves are comforted with. Okay? Yeah, this the understanding of our responsibility. Okay, that we continue to edify one another and exhort each other to remain at that altar. Okay, and to attend the assembly. Okay, for the purpose of growth, the sowing and reaping. Okay, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, again, that's the removing the barnacles of a philosophy of life. Okay, every barnacle that has attached itself to you ever since you were born will be removed. Every barnacle. Okay, because when you were born into this dimension of great darkness and wickedness, okay, you began to adopt a philosophy, okay, through experience. Okay, that if you did this, initiated this, okay, then something else would be, then you'd be rewarded with something else. Okay, like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Okay, the baby that cries gets the, okay, gets the pacifier or the milk, okay, or a diaper change. Okay, so we begin to learn through this form of reciprocation. Okay, but that form of reciprocation, okay, is not profitable in the kingdom of God because that requires faith. Okay, our reciprocation is on a completely different level of reward. Okay, whereas in the kingdom of darkness and according to the flesh, the reciprocation was only in that kind. Okay, the kind of the temporal. Okay, whereas our reciprocation, being on a different level, okay, is the eternal. Okay, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us through this form of scraping the barnacles off the bottom of the boat, so also our consolation abounds by Christ through regeneration, renewing the mind. Okay, regeneration, renewing the mind. Okay, so it benefits those which enter in their earlier age. Okay, have the least amount of barnacles. Okay, but of course, as when you're older, okay, the whole bottom of the ship is encased. Okay, so it takes time. Okay, it takes time, and it is difficult. Okay, for those which are older, coming into covenant. Okay, but it all depends upon the state of conscience. Okay, the peace of God will accompany you through this process. Okay, but you just have to endure, like everybody else has to endure. in verse 6, there he goes on, will there be afflicted? Okay, will there be afflicted outwardly? It is for your consolation and salvation, Paul says. When, as we continue to endure and overcome, okay, that by this process you benefit, which is effectual. So you might want to highlight the word effectual there. Effectual. The word effect has to do with something that's been initiated. Okay, affect has to do with the recipient. Okay, I am affected by the Spirit, which is effectual. Okay, because God initiated the Spirit. Okay, and the impact of that causes an effect. Okay, I have been affected. Okay, by this. So the word effect has to do with the aggressive nature. Affect has to do with the reciprocation of that. Okay, so whether it be afflicted, okay, it is for your consolation and salvation. It's a benefit. Okay, it's a benefit because the knowledge of God continues to increase within us as He's continually inscribing upon our minds and our hearts these commandments. So therefore, it is effectual, okay, in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Okay, in verse 6, now whether be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Okay, those things which benefit my Christian life as I overcome is also a benefit for those that partake of the same table. Okay, we all benefit from each other's table of knowledge. Okay, okay, as we continue to, you can say, contribute. Okay, all our contributions of knowledge and experience, revelation, okay, by this anointing is a benefit for the whole. Okay, as you'll see tomorrow morning too, okay, in the General Assembly. Okay, it is a product of your prayers. Okay, you are a product of your prayers. Okay, if your prayer life is weak, okay, so also is expressed in your participation. Your participation is also weak. Okay, and this is what the angel of the church was revealing to Hermas. Okay, when she said, "You are desirous to sit next to me," okay, as those others were sitting on a couch. Okay, on the couch. Okay, these are those which were of one mind. But you, Hermas, are yet in that chair over there. Now I'm going to teach you how to get from that chair to come to sit next to me. Okay, and this has to do with the state of your conscience. See, this is what she was teaching him. Okay, the state of the conscience. Okay, when faith is being exercised, Hermas. Okay, the state of the conscience being pure, then you can come over here and sit next to me. Okay, and we have sweet fellowship together. See, in that. Okay. In verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast. Well, I like this one. Okay, our hope of you, which means the knowledge which you have received, the expected outcome will be what? Okay, okay, as we continue to, as we all grow together, our hope of you, okay, is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also the consolation, the rewards of these powers. Okay, this is what Hermas also is being taught. Yeah, I was just reading about that this morning. Okay, that every crown is a power. Okay, and those which are fruitful receive a crown. Okay, which is a power. Okay, and those which are green also receive the power. Okay, that they are allowed into the tower. Okay, but those which were still dry, okay, still had to be immersed in water. That's the washing of the conscience until it began to sprout some green. Okay, and as it began to sprout some green, okay, then at the point of time to visit, he would visit. The angel would visit, and it says, if he takes the light in it, then he'll give it a power to enter into the tower. See, now when you enter into a tower, okay, now you're a functioning, functioning part of this mechanism. Mm-hmm. You're a mechanism of this machinery, and now you're functioning, which before you were independent. Mm-hmm. In that tank. See.
I just saw something with the green and the fruit. That those who had fruit, that's being in a place where it's better to give because the fruit, mm-hmm. and it carries a substance to give, where those who are green have just absorbed. They haven't yet come to a place of giving where there is that fruit.
Okay, good. Okay, so the angel, okay, when the angel came back with Hermas, okay, and examined every willow, every branch of that willow, okay, those which had the fruit on it, he was completely elated with this. He says, wow, look at this. This is great. Isn't this great, Hermas? And he says, okay, and so those which had fruit on it, he gave them a crown. Mm-hmm. He says, now go into the building. Once you're in that building, that means you're a functioning person. You're functioning in the body now. Okay, you can sit here now, see? You're functioning. Okay, because that all has to do with the state of the conscience. And when those which were green came forth, he says, wow, isn't this beautiful? Okay, and they had flowers on it. He says, this is beautiful. And they gave him a gift or power. He says, you go also into the tower. Okay, but when those came forth were still had branches which were withered on it and brown, he says, no, just put those inside this water tank right here. We'll come back at the appointed time. If there's faith in our heart, we'll reward them, we will reward them with a crown, and they can also go and function in a tower. Yeah. All in the state of conscience.
It also shows long suffering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the water also represents a cleansing. Mm-hmm. Cleansing. They need to be clean so they can grow. Okay, where are we at here? Okay, consolation, salvation. Okay, verse 8. Okay, and this is our living expectation. Same thing here at Muzzle Bay. Now I typed in Muzzle Bay there, okay, and I posted that in Charisma, okay, in which a lot of people will be reading that, okay, when they go into then they read these statements, they'll be reading about, okay, Muzzle Bay. Because see, they're still talking about the state of the carcass, okay, but we're talking about the state of the reward. The reward there. The church. The church is a carcass, and they've been kicking at it for a long time, trying to wake it up. And I says, well, a light and a new dawning is taking place right here in Muzzle Bay. Okay? And this is a rejoicing. The Lord is rejoicing at this work here. Yes. Praise God. You see that? Okay?
They've been inspecting it.
Yeah, the Lord has been inspecting. You're right.
Or, I mean, the carcass, they've been looking at it, you know, trying to find some life in it, but just keep turning it over.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they've been doing for 40 years. This guy was in the ministry for 40 years with Dave Wilkerson. I don't know if you remember that name. Okay. And, which he is, he's one of these big ministries. And they've been examining a carcass all this time, and it says, yeah, but there's something moving over here. Yeah. Moving over here, see. I think they've been staring at the wrong carcass. Okay. But we were not, verse 8, we were not, brethren, have you ignorant. Ah, well, what's the absence of ignorance? Knowledge. Okay, which means this is necessary for you to study. Okay, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia? Okay, that we were pressed out of measure. Wow, like a wine press. Okay, we were pressed out of measure, above strength. Okay, that which is our own capability, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Okay, at the time of the suffering. Okay, this like the phase which the assembly here in Muzzle Bay just went through, the time of separation for new birth, and wow, that was well worth it. Okay, but it took a long time. Okay, in order to get the saints to this point of being one mind. Okay, because as long as that other spirit was dominating, the consciences being defiled, they were not of one mind. Okay, everyone wanted to stand independent to pursue their own interests of aspiration, and that was killing the saints. That was killing them. Okay, with that other spirit was killing the saints. But because of the consecration, which God in His wisdom initiated, okay, because of that consecration, okay, you see, the body was born. Okay, within that, which I think somebody had a dream about that—a baby being born. Yeah, a couple people, a couple saints had.
Another two babies. One was born, and there's still another one to come.
Okay. Did you have that dream?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, praise God. You and I think another saint might have had another dream like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I had a dream like that. I was 6 months pregnant. Okay. And I remember Nina asked me that. It says, has you ever had a dream about female stuff? And I says, well, and I thought for a second. I says, yeah, I remember. I remember I went to a doctor for an examination and I was 6 months showing. And I says, well, it was the weirdest thing. Okay. And Rhea also had a dream about being about a baby like that. And
I've had a dream about giving birth.
Yeah. I've had a few dreams now this last sort of last month, you can say, of babies that can talk.
I've had that as well. Mature babies.
Wow.
Babies that can tell me what they want and communicate with me.
I've had that a lot as well.
Wow. Interesting. Good. Yeah, that's very encouraging because this is what God is doing as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the baby is born and the baby is maturing and the baby is becoming strong. Okay, it's a light.
Mm-hmm.
It is a light, and it's going to be a very profound experience for the church as they begin to observe these things. Okay, in that. Same thing with Thessalonica. Okay, that they were also highly. Spoken of by Paul, okay, because it's such a commitment of building, okay, the church there in Thessalonica. Okay, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. This is a time of birth and separation. And we had a sentence of death in ourselves, which means that we are sentenced to death. We were very restricted, and we could not use the aspiration. Okay, because once you initiate the hands of the aspiration to try to dissolve everything, it just ends up getting more bloody. Okay, in that. Okay, so as best as to stick the hands in a pocket, or to bind the hands together to the altar, okay, and watch the angel Lord do the rest of the, okay, the perform. Let him do the cooking. Okay, in that. Okay, so we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not. There it is. Trust in ourselves. That's a good one to highlight. Okay, but our trust. Okay, was in God, but in God that which raises the dead. Okay? If God can raise the dead, wouldn't it be better to, okay, put our confidence within Him than within us, who we can't even, we couldn't raise anything from the dead. The only thing we could raise is, we might be able to put some yeast and bread to watch it rise, but that's as far as it goes. In verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, which has to do with the separation of grace, and does deliver us because of the tether of grace. Okay, and whom we trust. Okay, there's the word trust there. We talked about that in one of the workshops. Okay, the word trust, which is something that is trust is something that is experienced through contact. Okay, and we develop a trust in the Lord. You develop that trust. Okay, it's the same thing. When the Lord will never ask you to walk on water, okay, until you first learn how to trust within Him, or to go and raise somebody from the dead, okay, because the Lord begins to nurture you and instruct you in the small things first, okay.
It's the same thing with Abraham. He wasn't told to offer his son without that trust being formed first.
That's right. Imagine that, if at the same day that God called Abraham, and He says, "Now I want you to offer your only son."
After his house was destroyed.
right after that, right, he'd stay in definitely in great doubt of this voice, where it's coming from, and that. But right, God nurtured him from that point by increments, little here. Yeah, okay. And He does the same thing with us, okay. So that if you ever hear, I remember when I was in the army, there was this. Young guy here who was very confused, and it was winter time, and he was going to put God to the test concerning if God really loved him or not. So what he did, he adventured to walk out on some ice, okay, on a lake, okay, it was a dam, okay, and lucky for him, he didn't fall through, okay. But he was going out there he felt that God was telling him, testing him to go out there to walk on the thin ice to prove his love for him. Okay, now, no, God will not do that, because this has never came to fruition, okay, concerning trust. Trust has never came to that point of maturity. God will never ask you to do that. Okay, now, concerning that. But in ignorance, okay, he was putting God to the test for his love towards him, and he felt that the test itself was like a voice of confidence, a voice of showing his love in that. So you can see he was very confused on that. And I took this brother aside, and I says, "Brother," I told him, "Wow, you're just lucky to be alive." Okay, walking on thin ice, there's people that have drowned. You know, when you fall through ice, it's very dangerous. On that,
he was tempting God.
And that, you're right, it was tempting the Lord. But yet at the same time, he felt that he was trying to show his love towards him.
Yeah, you know what?
But no love was developed there, no trust. But
it's because they experience that void, and they're always wanting to find something, a token of some sort, to bridge that void.
Okay.
And to get closer to God. And that's why they do all these different things, hoping to prove their love and hoping that they would feel that closeness in with God.
There was a minister too. It was in the paper. Okay, a minister. I think it was. I don't know if it was a Lutheran or Methodist minister. Okay, that brought his whole congregation down to the shore to prove to them, okay, that God's word was true. And the intent was it was a testing of its validity. Okay, of the scriptures,
the precept being true.
Yes. Okay, so this priest of this particular demon. He was going to prove to this, right, prove to them that it was in that manner. He started walking out into the river, or the large lake, or wherever it was there. Forgot the details on it, and they couldn't find him. He drowned.
He walked on water, but he just kept walking.
Yeah,
right.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Did you know that is in the system, that's how you're taught to listen to that voice for guidance. So you don't have truth to guide you, but you listen to the voice to guide you. So it's the voice of your inclination, it's the voice of your desire to be obedient to God.
Mm-hmm.
That when you feel an inclination to do something, you put God's voice on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you obey that, because even though it seems stupid to you at the time, it's all you have, and you want to please God, you don't want to displease Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a product of the education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Right, and like what Patricia said, oh, there's true. They want to gain some experience to bridge their doubt, or to try to make it, or to encourage other people,
mm-hmm.
in that sense, right?
If we contrast that with the real voice of the Lord, with the way He speaks, Isaiah 8 says, "Seek not unto those that peep and mutter."
Okay.
Those voices that peep and mutter, should the people not seek unto their God?
Okay.
See the contrast with
Right, Satan's echoes, okay, are definitely, you can say, are they definitely, okay, rattle the aspiration, the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's echoes,
mm-hmm.
the peep and the muttering. Okay, let's look at verse 11 now. Okay, you also helping together with it was talked about that. You also helping together by prayer for us. Okay, this again, this is part of your bonding, your prayer for us. Okay, that for the gift bestowed upon us and that power. By the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, verse 12, the testimony of our conscience. And that's what we see now emerging here in the General Assembly in Muzzle Bay. The testimony of our conscience is emerging as a light. Okay, the church world, they begin to look at this. There is something here that's really real. Really real. We don't have to, like today, they're supposed to have some kind of miracle service, okay, at this church that was passing out flyers last week. Are we going to be passing out from flyers today, you know?
Yeah, Matthew's going to at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, 11, okay. All right, so this other church is passing out these flyers, making a promise, okay, of health and wealth and well-being, okay, miracle services, so making all these promises, okay. This is how they view Christianity. They view Christianity only through this form of display.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this is not what Paul's talking about right here. It's the testimony of the conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is the true miracle and testimony of God's work, the greater. Okay, the greater works.
Mm-hmm.
Has to do with not only the of the multitude, but of the, it's a state of the conscience. Can you imagine that? Okay, what Jesus initiated at the time of his earthly ministry, okay, did not have this performance until he rose from the dead. Now his ministry is greater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in that capacity, the state of the testimony of his conscience, the conscience. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Okay, when people look for the healing, okay, they only come for that bread. They only come for that purpose. Okay, and once they get what their aspiration is driving them to get. Okay. They still maintain their independence, but that is not so in the state of the conscience. By the state of the conscience, we're being bonded together and under one house, under Christ. See, so that we're no longer in rebellion against God. Okay? But as long as the conscience is defiled, you're standing in rebellion against God. Okay? There's no faith in the heart. For our rejoicing is this: the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity. Okay, not with fleshly wisdom, okay, which has to do with the state of the world. Fleshly wisdom. Okay, directing your affairs by the aspiration, the moral code. Okay, but by what? The grace of God. Wisdom with the grace of God is directing our affairs, which is always with faith, the state of the conscience, the testimony of Christ. We have had conversation. Okay, our manner of life, our manner of life and the things which we speak, okay, in this time of darkness. Okay, in the world, and more abundantly to your word in the assembly. When you come in a covenant, you gain a different form of knowledge and language than that of the world. For we write none other things unto you than that which you have than what you read, which we're doing now, and acknowledge as concerning your reciprocations. And I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. That is the time frame of our presence in this dimension. Verse 14. As also you have acknowledged in part. You have acknowledged this in part. That's stewardship, okay, which is necessary. Okay, that we are your rejoicing. Okay, there's your form of exchange. Now, rejoicing has to do with building. Okay, as also as the word blessed has to do with the expansion. Okay, of this building. Okay, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, is blessed, and this is what we rejoice in. It is our blessing, and is our rejoicing. We rejoice in the holy city. Okay, and the holy city is our blessing. Okay, because it's within that we continue to expand and increase and grow. We build and build and build and build forever and ever and ever as gods. Okay, this is what we're learning now in this dimension as our responsibility as gods. Okay, because we were created by God for this purpose of building his house. You also, you have acknowledged us apostles and stewardship in part, that we, apostles and stewardship, are your rejoicing, even as you, as the congregation of the saints, also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus, the time of reward. As the Lord continues to reward us, we all benefit from each other. Okay, so there's no schism. The schism has to do with the defiled conscience. Okay, where there's no schism has to do with the pure conscience. Okay, when a conscience is defiled, it's because your faith is weak and the moral code is beginning to rule. Okay, then the moral code rules by those group of friends called doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition. Okay, in this confidence, I was minded and trust. I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit in our presence. Okay, and to pass by into Macedonia, to come again out of Macedonia to you, okay, and of you to be brought on my way towards Judea. Okay. You notice that the church was already established here in Corinth, but when Paul was coming there to Corinth, it wasn't for the purpose of relieving the bishop. It was there for purpose of support. Okay, and that's the same thing that we did and are doing. Okay, we're here in support of, not to remove, not to replace, but to support. Okay. So that whether our presence, whether we be present, our rejoicing is with you, or whether we be absent, we rejoice with you. Okay? And this is what Paul is doing right here. These letters were written to those which were already rooted and growing, okay, in these regions. To pass by you into Macedonia, to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. Verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or he took things seriously? Or the things that I propose, so I propose according to the flesh, okay, exact from you for my own aspirations, okay, or for the purpose of my own boasting. No, it wasn't. Okay, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. And that's what you have under the hypnosis of that false spirit, yea, yea, or nay, nay. Okay, it's yea and nay. It's one way. Then it's another way, and no one knows where you're going. Okay, where you're going with us? Okay, but with us it is yes, yes. Okay. So, but if God is true, okay, our word toward you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, which provided this pattern and record for our faith, okay, who was preached unto you by us apostles and stewardship, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, okay, which were accompanying him. Okay, it was not yea and nay, but in him was amen. Yes. Everyone knew what was expected out of them. Okay, everyone knew. Okay, all the saints which were contributing to the assembly, okay, were all stood with him as yes. Okay, not yes and no, not yes maybe. Okay, yea. Okay, all the promises of God in him are yea. Okay, that means those that stand with us. Okay, the promises of God, how God initiates and communicates, okay, it was always to this effect. And in him, amen. Okay, to the glory of God by us, apostles. So highlight the word, the word us there and put the word stewardship over that. Okay, because he's making distinction. Okay, by his stewardship. For he which establishes us apostles and stewardship with you, the General Assembly, in Christ, and has anointed us, okay, that means he has given us this gift for your benefit. Okay, because like I said, a calling is a gift. Okay, it's a gift to you, to others. It's a gift to you, to others. It is not a gift for the purpose of exploiting others. Okay, it's a gift for the purpose of building with others. It's not to pluck, okay, to pluck up, but to plant. Okay, the gift is for that purpose. Is God, and what did He do? He also has sealed us. Okay, sealed us by this gift. Okay, by this gift, and has given the earnest of the Spirit into our hearts for your benefit. Okay, this is what God is doing right now, expanding within you this knowledge. Okay, so that the least of you, okay, is greater than the greatest of them. The least of you is greater than the greatest of them outside of the covenant. Okay. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. Okay, as a reflection, that to spare you I came not as yet in Corinth. Okay, to bring this blessing. Not for that we have dominion. Well, that's what we talked about earlier about cults. Okay, because the dominion has to do with the fingerprint of the moral code that we talked about earlier. That perspective of the moral code is the fingerprint of man. Okay, but the perspective of God, of course, is His fingerprint. Not that we have dominion over faith, but what are we here? We are helpers of your joy. Because by faith you stand. For by faith you stand. Okay, we stand together as we continue to communicate, okay, and share within His grace.